guess who I'm not? I am not Dr. Barry Howard. Dr. Howard has an intestinal issue, bug, and is not here with us today, but will be here next weekend. My name is Amanda Atkin. I'm the Minister of Faith Formation here at Greystone, and it is my pleasure to welcome you. I am glad that you're here today. It is good to be together on this summer day. There are little blue notebooks in your pews, and so those are a way for our members and for our guests to kind of write your names down. It's a good way to get to know a name with a face and greet those around you. Also, in that pad are some connection cards. They're little cards at the top of the blue notebook. That's a way for you to get information about Greystone. It's a way for you to share some information with us. Take those connection cards, fill them out as you feel comfortable, put them in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. I'll also be in the gathering room to greet any of our guests following the service. So welcome to this morning of worship. We will not be looking at the scripture in Acts. We instead will be taking up 1 Samuel 17, the epic battle between David and Goliath. And so as we think about how God stands with the little, let us begin our worship.
In this season that may just be busy for you and maybe even borderline chaotic, we just want to take a pause and just refresh in the presence of God and do that together. And our opening hymn will help us do that, give us some words to remind us of that value. Before we do that, would you stand with me and speak these words as we begin worship, our opening sentences? God, who rules the universe, calls us. Holy Spirit, who frees us body and soul, calls us.
Let us faithfully answer by worshiping the living God.
Let's worship together. Come and find the quiet center.
Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where we are free. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we can see all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be. Silence is a friend who claims us, cools the heat and slows the pace. God it is who speaks and names us, knows our being, touches base. Making space within our thinking, lifting shades to show the sun. Raising courage when we're shrinking, finding scope for faith begun. And in the Spirit let us travel, open to each other's pain. Let our loves and fears unravel, celebrate the space we gain. There's a place
good to see you. In just a little while, we are going to hear the story about David and Goliath. Have you ever heard that story before? About the little shepherd boy who defeated a great big giant with his slingshot and a few stones out of the river? You are going to hear it, and you're going to love it. It's a story about how God helped this little boy defeat a great big old giant that even the grown-ups were scared to fight him. But David had God on his side. And the big giant came with weapons, and David came with God. And I want to tell you, this week my kids were at a summer camp with some friends at their church, and one of the Bible stories that they learned about was David and Goliath. And the drama group, they got to act it out, and they got to do a play about David and Goliath. And so when the grown-up in charge was asking who wants to be David and who wants to be Goliath and who wants to be Saul and who wants to be a Philistine, and so everybody's raising their hand, and some of the kids wanted to be the big giant. Some of the kids wanted to be the brave boy David. You know what this one boy wanted to be? The stone. He wanted to be the stone that hit Goliath in the head and knocked him down. And so the grown-up thought about it, and he thought, you know what? Everybody has a place in the story, so he let him be the stone. They wrapped him in a blanket, and when it was David's turn to sling that slingshot, he leaped out of the air with that blanket on his back and pretended to be that stone. And Goliath pretend fall down. So, I got to thinking about that and realized that we all have a place in the story. Sometimes we're the brave David. Sometimes we might be that giant that's standing in somebody's way, not doing and saying nice things. Yeah? But we all have a place in the story. We all have a place in Greystone's story. You are all part of what makes Greystone beautiful and what makes us who we are. And you are part of God's story. And God is going to use you to teach other people about God. And that's what I want you to remember, is that you have a place in the story. No matter what part you play, you have a part. And it's an important one. Can you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for the stories in our Bible, the stories that teach us, the stories that help us learn more about you and how you want us to be. Help us to find our place in your story, our place here at Greystone, our place in your story, and our place in the world. Help us to find the ways that you will use us to teach others about you and to show others your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Would you sing that prayer?
Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be, and set your seal upon my heart, and live in me.
Take, oh, take.
Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Sing that one more time.
And take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, the warm days of summer are upon us. Nights out on the deck enjoying a cookout and the company of friends. Children catching fireflies and savoring popsicles on a hot day. Days by the pool and trips to visit family. For many, summer is filled with vacation and travel. The warm days of summer bring us a mix of quiet relaxation and rush and hurry. In the season, we ask you to help us find the quiet center, to calm the chaos so that we might see and recognize the work of your hands. For those who travel, we pray for safety. Over the next few weeks, many from Greystone will travel for Greystone, to and from camps and mission trips. Even today, our youth and chaperones are traveling home from their mission trip. We pray that their work in Lumberton has shown your love to those around them, and we are excited to hear their stories when they return. No matter how busy or lazy our summers might be, the life that happens in and around and through us doesn't stop. For some, this life feels extra challenging. Sometimes we feel as if the problem before us is as tall as a mountain and that there just isn't enough strength or endurance to climb it. Lord, give us that strength. Give us the endurance. Give us the courage to believe that your love and your grace are bigger than any mountain or any giant that we might face. Give us friends for the journey and help us to be friends to others on their journey. Each of our stories are different and each of our giants unique. But your love is perfect for each and every one of us. And for this, we give thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.
May we stand together, celebrate our ever faithful God, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's sing. What a fellowship.
And what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Faithful God, you guide us as a loving shepherd. In your presence, our spirits are renewed.
In your wisdom, we discover peace. In fellowship together, we find ways to share your good news with others. As we enjoy your blessings, help us to give from our abundance with glad and generous hearts. We dedicate these tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his flock. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, our scripture lesson this morning comes from the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Chapter 17 is the whole story of David and his battle with Goliath. We will begin reading in verse 32. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came, I took a lamb from the flock. I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. And then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these. I'm not used to them." So David removed them, and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and he put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In this very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." And when the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out the stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I rise,
I can remember the routine. Every night, we would race down the hallway. I would always let my 2-year-old win. Arriving in his small pistachio green room that was perfectly matched to the sweetest bedding embroidered with bunnies and lambs and moons and stars. We would gather up Buddy, the ever-present stuffed monkey, and cuddle up in his big boy bed and begin to read. This was our every night routine with my son Sam. I loved to read to Sam, and he loved a little children's story Bible that he had. I loved to read to Sam the story of Jesus healing the man blind from birth. Loving and kind Jesus, who noticed a man who needed help and made little mud cakes for his eyes to heal him. Story of healing and mercy and grace and kindness and love. Oh, that was my favorite. Sam's favorite was David and Goliath. The shepherd boy defeating the giant. I tried really hard to avoid this story. It seemed like a lot of death and gore for that sweet little boy in his sanctuary of a nursery. And I must confess, I sanitized that story as much as I could. I absolutely left out David chopping off Goliath's head. But Sam was drawn to it. And I guess it is a perfect story for children. Maybe a small child living in an oversized world is the best person to appreciate the tale of great Goliath's defeat by little David and his slingshot. Children living in a world of thunder-speaking dictatorial giants delight when David gets one up on the big bully. It's a perfect story for kids. I'm thinking it's a perfect story for today. I'm kind of guessing that if you remember any of your Bible stories from childhood, you remember this one. If all the others fade away, David and Goliath sticks. It goes like this: while all the armies of Israel are trembling before the giant Goliath, little David runs quickly, takes a stone, slings that stone, and hits Goliath right between the eyes. Goliath falls, David wins, hooray. It's a well-crafted story. Remember that before the Bible was even written as a book, it was written on scrolls, but even before it became a scroll of written words, it was told. These stories were passed down through the ages, the story of God and God's people shared around campfires and in tents. And so we hear the teller of the tale weave the story and skillfully build the tension. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. As you would be sitting in your tent as a young Hebrew, that alone would well up a sense of fear, make your skin come to attention. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath, whose height was about 10 feet. I did say it was a campfire story, right? He had a helmet of bronze, and he was armed with a coat of mail, weighing 150 pounds, and his spearhead was 19 pounds. He's a big man, Goliath. And the narrator lingers over the details of his immense proportions and the size of his armaments to impress us with the odds that are standing against Israel. The giant taunts over the valley, "Give me a man that we may fight together." Up pops the youngest son of Jesse. Goliath demanded a man, and he got little David. David happens to be at the battlefield. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't hanging out with the soldiers. He was sent to the soldiers. He was sent by his father to take his older brothers lunch. The contrast between a heavily armored giant and a little boy with a lunchbox could not be any greater. Now, where are the other players, right? Where is King Saul of the Israelites, a warrior king like no other? Well, he is paralyzed by fear. He and his whole army are quivering in their tents when little David takes the scene. David swaggers up to King Saul and tells him that he'll go fight Goliath. I can imagine a little Opie Taylor marching up to a giant king. You're just a kid. What good is this? David tells the king that while guarding his sheep, he's become pretty proficient with a slingshot, and he's even had hand-to-hand combat with lions and bears. The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. Now we should note that in all of the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, this is the first time that God appears. And we all should take note that when God enters a story, this becomes a special story. This is not just some story of schoolyard bullies duking it out on the playground. This is now something special. Go, says the king, and may the Lord be with you. That's the only hope that David has. The hope that perhaps, maybe, the Lord will be with him. It's interesting to know that while King Saul talks about the Lord, it's so obvious from what happens next where he puts his real trust. You see, he pulls out all of his armor and he lays it upon this child. He gives him his sword, his helmet, his coat of mail, his sword. Both the giant and the king, one a braggart and the other a coward, are putting their faith and their trust in arms and in human strength. But David can't play that game. He doesn't have any of those things. What David has is God. He trusts God. And with God's help, the shepherd's sling and five smooth stones are all that's needed. You see, the equalizer between an oppressor and the oppressed is not technology or arms or intellect or power. The equalizer between the oppressor and the oppressed is God. Well, that begs the question, right? So just what are we putting our trust in these days? My fear is that all too often, we have grown up a bit too much. We have fallen back into our own strength. We rely on our ingenuity, our carefully honed expertise, our money, our vision. And we fall into the trap of relying on ourselves, and we forget to bring God into our story. David's stone finds its mark. The great Goliath falls dead at David's feet. The story is pretty transparent. I have to confess, there is no small detail that just opens up the story into a whole new world. There are no nuggets of secret knowledge that can only be found by Hebrew professors in stone-walled seminaries. The story is what it is. We don't really need to break it apart and ponder all of the intricate details, but I do want to say something about its significance. Particularly for those of you who may be feeling small or vulnerable these days. For I'm kind of guessing that with the exception of the children in today's congregation, this story is best understood by those who know what it's like to be threatened, to be outmanned, outgunned, outsmarted, just out of everything. It's not meant for those who are giants in their field or those who are kind of grown up and have perfected their armor to the point that they feel strong and big and vulnerable and invulnerable and impervious. It's meant for those of us who know what it's like to come up against somebody who's bigger than we are on the playground, who are threatening to take all of our lunch money. Those who know what it's like to be small, powerless, and on the bottom. Anybody who is exposed to power wielded by others who are larger or richer or more armored than they. As you sit in these pews, I think you know, right? That everybody gets to be little someday. Vulnerability, fright before the giants, it's not just for the young. It happens when your doctor's nurse calls you the day after your annual physical and says, well, there's a problem with your lab results. I'm sure it's no big deal, but... Or they walk in and say, we're going to do a reorganization of the bank, and I'm sorry, your position's not going to be included. Or they tell you that you're going to need to go to rehab, and you move to a nursing center, and the odds are you're not going home. In these moments, you feel small, vulnerable. There's not much to protect you. Viktor Frankl was a neurologist, a psychiatrist, a professor. He was a prolific author. He was a Holocaust survivor. In remembering his time in the Nazi death camps and his survival, he said that the Nazis could strip their victims of every dignity except the last, and perhaps the most dear, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance, to choose your own way of going through life. Did Frankl, who was a Jew, know this story of little David? Of course he did. Time and time again, God's people have turned to this story of how a shepherd boy, not large, not well armored, used only his wit and his faith in God to triumph over a giant. Now, today, Goliath might be a boss or a corporation or a government or even the giants of nature that lurk and stomp around on the earth. Cancer, hunger, floods. Giant can take many forms. But to those who trust God, there is a way. There is a way when there seems to be no way at all. There is a way forward, even through a valley filled with giants, because God is in the valley. God stands with shepherds every single time. You see, this story, it's not neutral. It is not disinterested. It is a prejudiced story. It is a prejudiced story that favors the least of these, and this story takes its place in the entire biblical narrative where we learn over and over again that we are to be on the side of the widows and the orphans, that we are to stand with the poor and the displaced, the sick and the outcast, the marginalized and the overrun, because that is where God will be found. So I'll put it to you straight. You are meant to identify with and draw encouragement from David. Unlike the entire army of Israel and its king, David does not hunker down. He does not sit in his tent and wait for fate to take its course. He is not overcome with fear. He acts. He takes what he has and what he knows, and he acts. And while he is not skilled at throwing a javelin or parrying with swords, he does know how to use a slingshot. And by God's grace, that's enough. Mother Teresa once said, God does not ask us to do great things. God asks us to do small things with great love. You see, David wasn't called at that moment to take command of the army and reorganize all the troops and set up a battle plan. He wasn't called to strategize over the next 15 years of Hebrew expansion on that particular day. He was called in a moment to bring what he had and offer it to God, no matter what the odds. God asks us to do what we can, when we can, as the Spirit leads. And the rest is up to God. Our world today has many problems, and sometimes, I confess, I am overwhelmed and I feel helpless. And if I only open my Twitter feed and read only Facebook posts and listen only to the talking heads who prattle on incessantly for a 24-hour news cycle, I am lost. Completely and utterly overwhelmed. What can one little person do? Well, it depends. It depends on which stories you've been told and what stories you believe with all your heart. And that's why we need each other, church. We need the conversations held within these walls, and we need to hear the stories of the saints who walk these hallways. We desperately need to hear and soak in words of grace and hope, faith and steadfastness, perseverance and love. We need the testimony of God's work on this earth found in Scripture, and the witness of God's work written on each of our lives. Eternal words, powerful, redemptive words. We need to be encouraged and reminded that there is another way. Our world loves to offer simple, binary choices. Goliath or Saul, you choose. Heads or tails, yes or no. Who is going to win? Pick your side. Story reminds us that there is yet another participant in that valley. Someone else is moving forward into the fight, and I'm not really talking about this brash upstart of a one-day king, David. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the God who is determined not to leave history up to the bloody refuse that's left after armies battle in the night. The God who is busy prodding little shepherds into the fray, and is most definitely the God who constantly surprises and astounds by offering something far beyond choose A or B. Be careful. Be careful of being lulled into thinking that all of the options are on the table, because, brothers and sisters, there is God. And our God says things like, see, I'm about to do a new thing. I will be crucified, but I will come again. In 3 days, I will come to you. When it's your turn to stand before the principalities and the powers, when it's your time to stand alone before the forces of injustice, oppression, even death, remember this story. When it's your moment to feel utterly small and insignificant, this is your story. This story is not meant to be argued or explained or picked apart. It's meant to be asserted and enjoyed and retold by people who know what it's like to be little and on the bottom. It is engaging and simple and childlike, just so you won't forget it. so that you can find it when you need it. So that when it's your turn to confront Goliath, you can stand in the name of God, who makes winners out of losers and who loves to save those who are caught and lost. This is your story. Remember it. For when you stand with God. And that is enough. Let us pray. O God, who dwells in high, inaccessible places of light, and also in the hearts of the humble and the lowly, we turn ourselves to you in prayer. You have not abandoned us to ourselves and our devices. You give us your word to enlighten us, your church to encourage us, your daily presence standing beside us in all of life's circumstances. Continue to stand beside us, O God. We are unable by our own efforts to preserve our lives, to live as we should, to survive and prosper. Stand beside us, O God. On this day, we especially pray for all those who are victimized or oppressed by the cruelty of others, those who suffer because of war and civil strife in their country, those who labor for unfair wages, those who are prisoners of conscience, those who are victims of domestic violence. All-powerful God, who lifts up the weak, comforts the suffering, and puts down the proud and mighty, work your power among us. Show us your glory and acts of mercy on behalf of those who suffer. We shall leave from this place and from this time of worship to face so many challenges. There are so many tough decisions to be made, God, many hard tasks to be accomplished. Our Lord and our help, give us your reassurance that we journey not alone, that you have graciously made our battles your own, and that in all circumstances of life, you stand beside us, even in the face of giants. Amen. So as I was preparing for today's sermon, my husband said, "Oh, David and Goliath, are you going to tell them about how Iceland went and fought Argentina to a draw in the FIFA World Cup?" And I said, "No." "Are you going to tell them about the 1983 NC State Wolfpack basketball game against Houston, where that little upstart team took on the mighty Houston, University of Houston, and was victorious?" And I said, "No, no." There are so many stories that we love and hold dear, of the little becoming the victor. But our story is the story of Jesus Christ, who is crucified, dead, and buried, and rose victorious, is resurrected, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That is our story. And if you are able and willing to commit yourself to that story, would like to join with this church in the telling of that story, and would like to understand what discipleship could be in this place, then I welcome you to come forward as we stand and make all of our commitments together as we sing.
Thank you.
I would remind you of a few things. There is a leadership council meeting that's going to be after church, so if you're supposed to go, then you should go. Also, you can sign up for Vacation Bible School. There are some directions in your worship order to do that. We are also collecting cereal items throughout the month of June for Urban Ministries. Please take note of that. Most importantly, next week, July 1st, is our covered dish breakfast. So there will not be an 8:45 worship service. We will gather together at 9:30. Bring your covered dish items. Bring your donuts if you want to buy them from Daylight. Bring your bagels. Bring your egg casseroles. Bring your biscuits would be lovely. I'll take some fruit salad as well. So bring your items. Let's sit together and have breakfast together. Let's sit around tables. We will have joint adult Bible study for Sunday school in the fellowship hall, and then we will come together for worship. Dr. Howard should be back by then after he takes his antibiotics, and we will all look forward to being together again next week. I know that as you leave this place that truly there is much that you have to face as you walk out these doors. But know that there's a community of faith that stands with you, a God that goes before you. And as we go, we can sing in confidence and in hope.
Little different words. Take your worship guide. Sing with me about our story, joined by our mission, varied yet one. As we go, we're reminded of these things. Let's sing. This is our story.
This is our story. This is our song. Joined by our mission, varied yet one. This is our story.